We're going to be talking today about evaluating God's love in our lives. And I've heard in the past, you know, there's been some folks who come to church and stuff, and they go, there's kind of a funny thing. They'll say stuff like this. They'll say, I don't know why all these other people are here because you're speaking just to me. Well, today I want to say that. I'm not sure why all you are here because I think I'm speaking just to me. Evaluating God's love in our life. Now, we're going to read a passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture is the main text for the morning. It's 1 John 4, starting with verse 7. It goes down to 21. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Now, before we read that, though, I want to talk about this. When you read a passage of Scripture, one of the little rules of interpreting the Scripture, one little rule is this. How many times is a word mentioned in that passage? They call it, some call it the parrot principle, because you hear the word over and over. If the word is mentioned a lot of times, then it's very important. And it brings to the focus of the theme of that particular passage. So the words that are repeated often. Here's a for instance. In Joshua chapter 1, you're told, be strong and be of good courage. Be courageous. Not once, not twice, not three times, four times. Very serious about that, right? So I'm going to go ahead and tell you, before we read the passage, so you won't be counting them, between verse 7 and 21, the word love is mentioned 27 times. The word God is mentioned 21 times. So you get the idea what the passage is about. It's about love and it's about God. Now, even the word beloved is in there twice. And that has the word love in it. Then it has the word son three times. Father once, spirit once. Fear is in there four times. Perfected is in there four times. Propitiation is used once. Love one another is three times. Knowing the love of God is that's four times. The day of judgment is used once. Punishment is used once. Hate is used once. And liar is used once. So you can tell what the theme is. The theme is about the love of God. Are you ready? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. It's almost like we're swishing around, you know, this way, love this way, love that way, abide in him this way, you and him and you. Love, he's going to work it through you. We'll get all this in a minute. By this love, look at this, is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Repeat this with me. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Wow, that's in there. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I was a preteen, kind of early for that job I had, but I think I was around 15 years old. In 2 summers, I worked with a guy named Marvin Flippin on the Pepsi Company. And every morning, it was not far from my house, I'd drive down the road and we would help load up the truck. And then I would drive off with Marvin. Marvin was in his either 50s or 60s at the time. He'd been doing this all of his life. He had not much of education, but just a precious, precious man. I wish he was here today just to greet you. Here's what you would feel if Marvin was in the room. You would feel the love of God. You would feel the warmth of God's presence. You would feel affection, and you wouldn't know where it was coming from. You would feel a tenderness. You would feel this reality of his life because he so loved the world. Yet he never, I guess the Lord was leading him, he never asked me to receive the Lord. But he prayed for me consistently. Because a few years later, after I had come to the Lord, somebody was preaching a message, and they said, if you ask the Lord, everybody was brought to the Lord through somebody praying for them. If you ask the Lord who that person was, he'll tell you. And I went, wow, I've never heard that before. Well, Lord, who prayed me into the kingdom? And the Lord said, Marvin Flippin. The love of God residing in a person. Hallelujah. The love of God being made manifest. As he was, so are we in this world. This is a big deal to God. How many of you know? This is not your fill in the notes, but if you want to grab one of these along the way, I'm just going to go down and look at a few things that I pulled out of this passage. Our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is love and the fountainhead of love in the universe. That's where it all comes from. Initiating Jesus coming and dying for our sins, thereby making us favorably inclined to him, manifests his love. Through receiving the forgiveness of our sins, which are the obstacles to receiving and giving God's love, we can now love God as God loved us in the indwelling of his Spirit. How many of you need some help by the Holy Spirit inside? Who assures us of God's love for us and empowers us to love others. I remember being a pastor here very early, just within a few months, and there were some people in the congregation, and there was one particular lady that carried such a powerful spirit of rejection. Have you ever been around someone with a powerful spirit of rejection? It's so powerful that it's very difficult to love them. It's like they're a porcupine with all the quills up, and they walk into the room poking everything. Have you ever run around that? And I was up in the room, in the bathroom upstairs. We lived in the building. I looked out and I saw the person. And I said, I was standing there brushing my teeth in the mirror. And I said, Lord God, unless you love through me, this is not going to work today. And guess what? The love of God came and manifested into my heart. And as I looked at the person, I felt his love for them. How many of you know it's by the Holy Spirit doing it in and through us? I know we got an amen over on this side. I know it's kind of weak over here. How many of you labor real hard and nothing ever happens? Yeah, okay. No, I'm just kidding. Because it's the love of God in us and through us. He makes it manifest. Here's a few other little points here. When we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, he abides in us. And we abide in him. And it's through this means that we know and believe the love that God does have for us. This is getting a little thicker here. God's goal is that love be perfected in us. Go ahead and tell the person, God's goal is that love be perfected. This is why this is like a mirror. You look in this thing, you go, oh boy. Now, this accomplishes several things. The first thing that we have, this is amazing. When love is perfected, this is the first thing he says you have. You have confidence in the day of judgment. This is an eternal benefit, isn't it? This confidence can be seen in and through both us right here on earth, just as is seen in Jesus. If you and I are around people who don't know the Lord and we're at a funeral, there's a confidence in the day of judgment. We walk in because dying is graduation day. The loss is just a momentary loss. We have a completely different conviction about what's going on than those who have no hope. Because they don't know the Lord. Confidence in the day of judgment. The next thing God's love being perfected in us does is it accomplishes this. It accomplishes the removal of fear from our life. The primary reason that fear is rooted in us is because of punishment, the fear of punishment. But Jesus was punished for our sins in our place already. And so there's no need for fear because he's already taken that place. Is that right? You know, it's like, you're going to get in trouble. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Fear comes with the fear of punishment. It's rooted in punishment. Well, what if Jesus is on? I'm not going to get in trouble. Why? Because Jesus died for my sins. So there's not the fear. The good fear is the fear of the Lord, which is the respect of God and that we guard our, live our lives in the boundaries that God has, safe boundaries for us. That's a completely different thing. But his perfect love casts out this irrational fears of our souls. And so listen to this, guys. Now the commandment to love one another is very important to God. His love is seen in how we love one another. So he says this. He says, if you say you love and actually hate, you're lying. And this doesn't fly with God. How many of us have done that? I love them. Pants on fire. Because God says whoever would love must love their brother as well. It's like a litmus test. If you have fear, you need to be perfected in God's love. If you don't love others, you need to be perfected in God's love. So loving God with everything we are and expressing that love to others is the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here we go to number one. These are evaluation questions. So the first question of the day is, do you love God and people more at the end of this year? Do you love God and people more at the end of this year? Do you love God and people more? This passage of Scripture where he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves is born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Just drawn to this passage, all the power of what love does, it changes us. How many of you know the more you're loved, the more you love? The revelation of the love of God is so important that if you don't have it, you won't love. Is that right? Having a greater capacity for love is the goal that God has for all of us. Why is it so important to God? Because it's the means by which he is actually seen. This is how he has seen and felt in the world. It's not by judgment of scriptures. It's by acts of kindness. Jesus went around doing good and bringing healing to those who are oppressed by the adversary. Jesus is good. So how you doing on love? And I feel like the Lord is saying, I got some growing to do. How about you? Is anybody else besides me acknowledge? Today, I believe the Lord is going to help us see something so that we can grow in the depth of God's love for us and for people. Do you love people more at the end of this year? God love it. So I have a few quotes here. By the way, this has been a challenge all down through history. I have a quote here by George Whitefield. He's lived in the 18th century. God is well pleased when our actions proceed from love, love to himself, and love to immortal souls. But I say, God's pleased when we love. You're following. Let me go ahead and say this too. I'm not going to say this in a nice veiled way, but I'm going to just go ahead and say, you can't compare the God of this passage to any other God in any other book. He's not comparable. Because he's love. This God that we serve, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is love. He's the fountainhead of love. Love, he's the source of all love. He's incomparable. He's irresistible. He's the God of love. That's why you came to him in the first place. He made his love known to you and drew you to him because you found that he loved you. And something in your heart was drawn to him, not out of fear of judgment, but out of love, because he'd done something that you couldn't do for yourself. And he's saying, will you take on my role in the earth, not as the ultimate Savior, but as one who shares the love the way I have? Will you mirror what I mirrored to you? Will you give what I gave to you? Will you cause others to have more of what I've given you flowing through your life? Will you cause that to happen? How many of you realize that there are a few obstacles along the way? Augustine, 5th century. 5th century. To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek Him, the greatest adventure. To find Him, the greatest human achievement. Isn't that a great quote? Here's C.S. Lewis. 20th century. Affection is responsible for 9/10 of whatever solid and durable happiness there is in our lives. Isn't that a great quote? Affection is responsible for 9/10 of whatever solid or durable happiness there is in our life. So I want us to get to the next question. Next question to evaluate. What obstacles are in the way? What obstacles hinder you? That's the word. What obstacles hinder you from loving God and people more? What obstacles hinder you? There's a really strange story in Judges chapter 17. It's about a guy named Micah. He was in the hill country of Ephraim, and he says to his mother, the 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse, and also spoke it in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. She cursed that money. Somebody stole my money. He goes, I got it, Mama. And she said, blessed be my son by the Lord. And he restored the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother. And his mother said, I dedicate the silver to the Lord from my hand for my son to make a carved image and a metal image. And now, therefore, I restore it to you. So he restored the money to his mother. And his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave it to the silversmith and made it to a carved image and a metal image. It was in the house of Micah. And then this man, Micah, had a shrine, and he made an ephod and household gods and ordained one of his sons to become a priest. Isn't that funny? Now, I'm saying all this, and here the other part of the story is this. There was this guy, was a Levite. He was sojourning around. He was wandering around, wondering what he was going to do. And because he was a Levite, Micah takes him into his household and says, will you be a father? He's younger than him, but he says, will you be a father to me and a priest to me and do the priestly duties? He says, yes, and he pays him a certain amount of money. The story goes on about that, but here's the point. Everybody say, idolatry. This is not the true and living God. This is a person making a God for themselves. And these are the last days that we live in. And it's so easy to travel along for a while and to decide, I think I'm going to just do whatever I want to do. And this is the key phrase that's in this passage. Every person did what was right in their own eyes. And when you do what's right in your own eyes, somebody else gets hurt. Because when you're walking under the Lord's Spirit, the Lord's Word, things work. When you're walking under yours, it's pretty soon you rationalize your way right down into something. Isn't that right? So, I'm going now. That passage is not in your notes, but there is a passage that's in your notes. And there's a little section here. Jesus is explaining what happens when a sower sows. So I want you to see this. The sower comes sowing and is sowing the word. Now I want you to receive it this way. The sower sows love. The message of love. The transformational message of the love of God is sown. You came to the Lord because somehow a seed that God loved you began to take root in your heart. Something happened in you that began to have. So let's call the seed love. Now what happened? It might have happened the first time you heard it. The enemy came and snatched it away. And there was maybe bitterness. It's really amazing to me that when you boil it all down, because of the pains in life, you have a bitter environment or a loving environment in the heart. And when love comes to a bitter environment, it bounces off. I remember, I have it in my, I have it later in my notes, but I'm going to bring it up now. I was watching Princess Bride. I get a little laughter. You guys know it? When Wesley, who is Dread Pirate Robert, when he meets up with Buttercup, they're sitting there having a talk. And for some reason, I actually never heard this until he said it. I never heard it. There's so many cool things in that movie. I'm not going to rehearse them all for you because it would be entertainment time. But I've never seen this moment. And he says, "Life is pain, Highness. And anyone who says differently is selling something. Anyone who says differently is selling something." And that jumped out. I went, you're not going to get away from some kind of pain. Even freedom has a portion of pain in it. To become free, you wrestle through some issue where pain manifests in your life. Pain is the motivator for change. Life is pain, Highness. Anyone saying something differently is selling something. So we're going to experience that. But it doesn't need to be the obstacle of your life. And sometimes when people don't get their way, they move into an idolatrous mindset. We move away from God. And so Jesus is sowing the seed. And he says, some go through this really difficult time and they have a persecution or affliction of some sort. And they quit and they back out. But these are the three main ones I want us to look at. And this is in your notes. It says, others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world. Everybody say cares. If you're underlining, just go ahead and underline cares. There's three things here. Deceitfulness of riches, that's one. Go ahead and say that with me. Deceitfulness. And the desire for other things. Say that. Desire for other things is not mentioned in the book of Luke or Matthew. I believe it's just put it here. It's like the catch-all phrase. The catch-all. In other words, there's cares, there's worries, there's fears that'll bombard your mind. There's also the, I don't have enough. You're always scrambling and you go serving mammon and you skip out on God. You go ahead and make money your deal. Then that's a deceitful thing. It's like because mammon always promises it's going to fulfill something. It can't. It won't. So you keep, like the carrot on the end of the stick. You keep going for it. Never happy. Always full of fear. And then there's the desire for other things. You're just going to get, who knows, bored or just get intrigued like David with Bathsheba. Or something goes off in your life. Or you're just something, well, I'm not getting fulfilled in this. And you get something going on in your heart and you decided to walk away. Pull a Micah. Go ahead and build your own little shrine. Create your own little household God. Do your own little thing. Walk away from what you know is right. And are you there? So the obstacles, I believe, everybody say, would you just repeat with me? We'll be done here pretty quick. Thorns, say thorns. Now, I would like to ask you to read Numbers 33:55 with me. Ready? Go. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then those of them whom you let remain shall be as barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell. I believe the only reason that you get worries in your life is because you don't have the revelation of the love of God. And if you don't have the revelation of the love of God in your life, you're going to think money's the answer. And if you don't have the revelation of the love of God in your life, you'll start desiring it. Go feed the desire for other things. I believe it's real clear that there are obstacles that cause those who've been around. See, this is not the person that's right there. And this is not the one who just had it stolen. This is not the one who early on in a Christian life just gave up because they didn't have the character to walk through. These are the people who've been around for a while. These are the people who've walked with the Lord and suddenly the thorns that they didn't drive out begin to get a stranglehold on their heart and the love of God begins to evaporate and they're feeling like, well, God's never done. And somehow that lying secret voice that you didn't cast out, maybe you did before, but it comes back and it wants to linger with you and cause you to fall into a trap. There are obstacles to the love of God manifesting through your life. Anointing's in the room. Let's just ask the Lord right now, what is it? What has been the obstacle that's hindered you? What has been the thing that's caused your heart to come under the control of something that quenches the love of God and causes you not to be available to love God fully and to love people fully? What is that thing? Because the adversary has a strategy that we can cast out, that we can drive out. And today's your day to drive it out. Today's your day where you say, I'm not going to have anything stranglehold the love of God out of me. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to live in the fullness of it all the days of my life. Now, this the Lord put this. He says, you could good look in the mirror and see how much did you love. How much was all of your life about you? You know, it's amazing here. Love God and others. It says, love the Lord your God. You know, Matthew 20. Says 23:8. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is it. Love yourself. Yeah, you gotta love and manage yourself. There's a thing there. If you hate yourself, you're going to be kind. You won't be very kind to your neighbors. If you're full of fear, if you're full of bondage of fear and all those things, you're not going to be kind. Like I said about the lady that walked in, I pray that she has the... But you, look, tell the person next to you, you've got the lover inside of you. You have the lover of all mankind inside of you. Let me ask you this one question. This is an evangelistic question. Today, could you reach the person you used to be? When you got saved, today, could you go back and get that guy to the Lord? The person you used to be, do you have enough of the love of God in you to reach you? Would the love of God in your life today be adequate enough to reach you for Jesus? Think about your age. Think about when you came to the Lord. Is there enough of the love of God, loving God and loving others in you to cause there to be you come to know the Lord? There's a breaking up of things in our life today. There's a shifting of something today. Before we get out of this year, God's saying, I'm going to set you free from some stuff that's hindered you from the fullness of my love for you. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let whatever it is crack and break off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Let a fresh unction of the Lord come into your life. Let the Lord overflow you with the love. Let nothing quench the passion. Love Him, fan it to flame. Hallelujah. 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 It's amazing to me that the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel is the way God changes the hearts of people. Here we're standing here talking about Bible verses. And God says, Amen. And He comes into a heart and He says, we're going to change and I'm going to help you. Everybody say abide. If the lover's in you and you're abiding in the lover, give Him some room. Let's look at the number three. What is your plan to love God and people more this next year? What is your plan? There, Jesus told this parable. I'm going to look at it from a different way than you've probably heard it. Jesus was telling this parable and He explained that this businessman was going to leave. And so He gives one person 10 talents and it's money, and he wants to invest that money for him. The other one gives 5, and this one guy gives 1. Now catch this, guys. Everybody look up here. The one person with the one talent said about, Jesus has him saying these words. He says, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man. Jesus is revealing that the one who did not invest did not know His love. That the one who held it back and did nothing didn't understand the spirit of the Master. Have you withheld lately? Have you held back? Because he thought he was doing a good thing. When the master came back, he said, "Here it is." And he gave it back to him, the one talent. That's like a person saying, "I got saved and I didn't talk about it to anybody. I didn't do anything for anybody my entire life and I just got it in." Missed the whole thing. If God wanted that to happen, the moment you got saved, you'd die. Get saved, pass away. Next, get saved, pass away. If that was the way it was going to work. Go ahead and tell somebody next to you, the Lord wants you to grow up and become like Jesus and let His love manifest through your life. And I'm asking you about your plan because I believe that there are strategic things that you are designed for like no one else that you can do that cause people to know and experience the love of God through your life. Through your life. Through your life. Through your life. Being aware of people around you. Why are they around you? Through your life. But I'm so caught up and so busy and so... No, how do people get in contact with God through your life? Are you there? And this guy says, "Reaping, you know, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. I was so afraid." Here's that fear. This guy needed to be perfected in the love of God. "I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." And he should be seen to be thinking, "I didn't do anything wrong." And I put that sentence in there. In doing no wrong, he did the biggest wrong of all by not taking initiative, by not taking part with what the master was doing. Everybody say initiative. I believe the Lord has set in motion from the heavens that 2015 be a year of initiative. Maybe that's what we'll call the thing. Where there's fresh new initiative happening in your life, where you lack nothing to fulfill all that He's initiating through you. Are you there? Boy, I felt the breath on that one. I've been struggling with what to call the year of initiative. Can we say that? Let's go ahead and agree with that. We'll talk about that, the year of initiative. Be ready, being ready for new things, having what it takes to get involved in anything that God asks you to do. Come on. It's an amazing thing. The moment you declare vision, we're going to go do this, and it's not all about you right now. There's actually in some people's hearts and minds, "Well, I don't know if I want to do that. If it's not about me, it's not going to be about me. Well, I got to think about that." Well, that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel, are you filled with the Spirit? Then walk in that and give it away. That's what it's about. When the Lord comes back, is He going to find a full-grown man out there saving the world through the power of His love? Or are we going to find a little baby on the corner going, "Me, me, 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 me," sucking His thumb? What level of maturity are we going to be? Yes. Year of initiative. Yes. I've been asking the Lord for 3 weeks. And right here on Sunday morning, He gave me the word. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Set everything aside just for a moment. Let's build a little altar. The Lord was cracking into some of your hearts in some very strategic places. It might be like that little crack in a dike and it's not fully broken down yet, but there's a cracking and the Lord's highlighted something to you about an obstacle in your thinking or your heart, a hardness maybe. In fact, I want us all to just ask the Lord for a new sensitizing. Would you do that right now? Say, "Lord, resensitize me. Take away from my heart anything that is hard or calloused." Because, guys, callouses come from doing something good usually. Maybe you're just loving people a lot and you're just tired of it now. The Lord says, "Let me love you and resensitize your heart. Let me love." There, come, Holy Spirit. Come and resensitize the hearts to the tenderness of receiving your love. Wow. Guys, the powerhouse of love is inside of you. The fountain of all love is inside of you. The fountain of love is indwelt in humans, and Jesus is making himself known in our hearts. Let the love well up in you right now. The Holy Spirit causes the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart, to be felt, to be alive. That we wouldn't be religious, but that we'd be alive and made whole and be genuinely real and not conform to some religious thing, but be transformed into a life-giving person with joy on your face and love in your spirit. Like my old friend Marvin, Holy Spirit, come. Come right now. Would you just praise him a little bit and just open to the work of the Spirit in your own heart? Hallelujah. Say, I repent, Lord, for letting desires for other things, letting the deceitfulness of riches or the cares and worries just harden me up. Just strip that away right now. Holy Spirit, come and strip away this excess desensitizing work of it's in my soul. Take it off right now. Take it off right now. Take it off right now. Come and heal me. Change me. Strip away. Cause me to have a resensitizing right now to your love and your love for people. Help me think outside of myself and my immediate sense of need and who I am. Help me see what you see. Give me your eyes. Help me see. Hallelujah. Now I want you to place your hand over your heart. You are awesome in this place. Mighty God, right there in your heart, you are awesome in this place. Abba, Father, strip away what's made me hard. Oh Lord, I want to go far, for you are awesome in my heart, my God. Somebody's being healed right now. The Lord's just taking a wound right out of you. It's just coming out. He's taking the wound out. Darts that try to make you bitter, darts that cause you to be distracted, darts to cause you to be disappointed, the Lord's healing that. Some of you just pray in the Spirit on your breath there. Just let the Holy Spirit begin to well up here. Hallelujah. There's a work here. Thank you, Lord. You're covering. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. This is the image in my mind right now. The Lord has put some of you on the potter's wheel just now. He's saying, I'm beginning to spin you around. I'm taking out the flaw. I'm working on you right now. It's the work of the Spirit to say, some of you let your words just get the best of you. The Lord says, I'm going to take away all those negative words. Some of you are aware that it's been about you so much. The Lord's saying, I'm just a fresh look in the eyes of the Lord. And you're going to see there's more love than just for you. There's love to overflow you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for we're your sheep and your fold, and you're doing a work as a shepherd. For you deeply love your sheep, the people of your pasture, the people of your hand. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to lead us all in just a general prayer. You can put everything in there. Would you go ahead and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, it is my choice to repent from whatever has distracted me from knowing the depth of your love. I turn from that thing now. Come, Holy Spirit. Resensitize my heart. Help me walk with the fullness of your love right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let's stand together, and I want to just declare this. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.